I'm Jeff Economy, host of Snack Point Charlie, heard the first and third Wednesday of every month from 10 to midnight here on WGXC. I'm here today on WGXC's afternoon show to talk with Rodney Allen Greenblatt, who will be performing as part of the Drive-In Extravaganza on May 31st. That's Negative Land plus Sue C., Matmos, and Rodney Allen Greenblatt at the Greenville Drive-In, May 31st. Tickets available at wgxc.org/drive-in. Welcome, Rodney.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you for coming. My pleasure. So tell us about this drive-in show. You're going to be playing at a drive-in?
Yeah, it's very exciting. The Greenville Drive-In is a great place. They have converted an old drive-in into something that's much more culturally present and fun. And I've been to a couple things there. And I haven't been to a concert the size of the one that's going to happen next week, but I'm sure it's going to be great.
And you have a relationship with Matmos, is that correct? Or you've just played with them before? Or
Somewhat. I'm actually a fan. They have inspired my music over the years, and I've been a steady listener to all their albums as they come out. And then about 2 years ago, I went and I saw them play in Montreal. And it was a small club, and they did their show, and it was fun. And I got to talk to them, and I gave them my tape of my last record. I'm not expecting anything of it, but they wrote me back a couple weeks later. They liked my tape. And somehow or other, this guy communicated with WGXC friends. And when they decided to put this show together, they asked me if I wanted to play. So I'm playing for one of my favorite bands. How about that?
That's excellent. I'm curious about how you got into music in the first place. I mean, I've been familiar with your visual work since the 90s, really. I mean, I was, like a lot of people, completely charmed and enchanted and semi-obsessed with Parappa the Rapper and Umjammer Lammy. I actually had to give my PlayStation away because I was spending far too much time on the gaming platform. But it came as kind of a surprise to see years later that you were making music. How did that part of your practice evolve?
Well, actually, I've been making music all along. I started learning to play when I was 7 years old on a Hammond organ. And I've always loved electronic music, actually, not knowing that it was a specific thing as a kid. But I would have done anything to get a Moog synthesizer when I was a kid, but it was way too expensive, and I couldn't convince my father to kick over $3,000 in 1974 for a Moog synthesizer. But I can afford one now, thanks to Parappa the Rapper. Over the years, I've made lots of music. Actually, the very first song in Parappa the Rapper, the scene in the movie theater, the opening, mm-hmm. I wrote that music.
Oh, cool.
And played and sang it, actually. And I think Masaya Matsura added some instrumentation and drums and things to it. But basically, I've been doing little bits of, you know. But I've been gigging. I was in a band in art school, a couple of bands. And now, since I moved to Catskill 8 years ago, I found lots of people to support me and play my music in places. The Avalon Lounge has been great. And I've been at it all these years.
Yeah, tell me more about the Monday morning thing that you do.
Yeah, every Monday morning, I'm in a band called Music for Furniture, and we play improvised electronic music for an hour and a half, starting at 8:30 a.m. People are coming in and having their coffee, and in the background is a orchestra. Sometimes it's usually a quintet of the five of us, playing improvised music. David Garland is there, and he actually plays the clarinet and the bass clarinet and the guitar, so it's not all electronic. And then we have his son Kenji on very interesting computer program synthesizers. And then Dan Kirkus, who you may know as Catskill Bread. He's an amazing musician, and he plays a variety of synthesizers and devices. And then Jimmy Garver, he is kind of a laptop genius, and he provides all kinds of sounds. And then I'm on the Moog. We're sometimes all five of us, sometimes less, but every Monday we're back there at Joust Cafe in the middle of Catskill.
I have to confess, I've never seen you play, and it's partly because I'm such a night owl. My typical bedtime is around 3 or 4 a.m., so getting up at 8 is a bit of a challenge for me. But
it's a challenge for everyone. It's a crazy time to have a gig, but that was the whole original concept, to have a music gig that was just at a time when no one would expect it. So that's what we do.
Do you find that most people have no idea that you're going to be there when they come in, or do they come just to see you?
Well, we have a bit of a following, some just neighbors and friends, but they all work on their laptops and do their email while we're playing, and we love that, actually. And the coffee is good, and there's food, nice food at Joust. So, it's a great place to hang out and listen to us go through an adventure, basically. We just go through different phases of music and sounds, and it's pretty interesting.
And you have a project with Jimmy Garver, is that correct? Or I know that you have one. I can't remember the name offhand, but I have heard the record. But tell us a little bit about that.
Jimmy and I have collaborated on something called Sending.
That's it.
And like I said, he's a genius at bass and drums and sound effects. And I basically add my Moogy sounds on top of that. And we made a record together a couple years ago. It sounded pretty good.
Yeah, I've played some on my show, and I know it's been in rotation on WGXC as well. I'm curious about your philosophy towards electronic music, towards a synthesizer. How would you summarize your approach? I mean, not that it has to be summarized in a sentence, but give me an idea what you're, where you're coming from, where you're going with it.
I've always been fascinated with it, to be able to create your own sounds, or edit sounds that are found on the machines. I think in a funny way in my mind, electronic music is very pure. It comes out of a circuit or some kind of device inside of a machine. There's no strings or sounding board or anything like that, although it gets connected to those kinds of things. It's just this strange, interesting sound. I think when I was a kid, I was at video arcades, and I was wondering where the music was coming from. Was it coming from a recording? And I realized, no, actually the computers are generating those weird little video game music. And that made me really interested in how that was done. And as soon as I could afford to buy a synthesizer, I did. And I started to learn how you make those different timbres and different effects and different kinds of sounds.
It's interesting that you... one of the first things you describe is the clean quality of the sound. And I'm wondering if that in any way ties into your visual practice, because so much of the visual art you do has a kind of 2D quality and a very deliberate one, it seems to me. And I'm curious how those things, if you see any relationship between them.
I suppose there is. I do like some simplicity, and I always move towards some kind of visual simplicity in a certain way, in a cartoon kind of a way. And I've actually, if you listen to some of my other, my solo music, there is a kind of a cartoonish flatness, I guess you could say, to some of it. And I guess that's just natural for me.
When you say that's natural for you, it's I don't think it's natural for necessarily everyone. So me, and that's, it's not a pro or con. I mean, I'm drawn to that myself, but I'm curious what, how that's natural. I mean, and that might be impossible to explain, and asking someone to get into that, the basis of their art. And maybe that's something you don't want to go into, but I'm curious what, how that's so natural to you.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I've talked about in many interviews, the basis of my art is basically, animations that I watched on TV when I was a kid. I had artistic talent at a very young age, my parents discovered. And they felt that I was an artist. But the art that I was actually looking at that was forming the aesthetic that I love was on TV, like Gumby, for example, that animation series. And also Bullwinkle and all of that interesting animation, very flat, funny, slapstick, interesting stuff. I mean, that's where, that's like deep back brain kind of thing. When I look at Gumby now, you can watch episodes on YouTube or something. The forms and the colors are so much like my forms and colors that I've used in my adult life. Everything about it just sort of went back into the storehouse back there and just keeps coming back up, which I think is great.
Well, it's interesting to me as well, because Art Clokey was a notorious proponent of Zen, and there's references to it in the Gumby shorts, you know, Gumby going to the Zen cafe for coffee or whatnot.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how that ties into your interest in Zen.
Well, I don't think I caught that when I was a kid watching it, but I have seen in the scene, there's a little town that they drive through, and there's a Zen cafe in the town that they sometimes drive by. Gumby and Pokey drive by in their Model T, I think. But anyway, my interest in Zen was kind of separate from all that in a way. I don't know. It's a long story, but when I was a kid, I found or was given a little keychain with a little Buddha on the keychain. And I wondered, what was it about? And I always had an interest in Buddhism since then. Forgot about it for a while. And then, as you know, I worked in Japan when I worked for Sony. And I used to go to the temples as a tourist. But I was still thinking, like, what are these Buddha statues? What is this all really about? There must be some profound meaning. But I didn't know what it was. So then I couldn't get any of my, none of my Japanese friends could explain it to me. So I figured there must be more to it. And I knew that I could find a Zen temple when I went back to New York, where I lived. And I did find a Zen temple right around the corner from where I lived. It was the Village Zendo, and I started there in 2008.
So did you have any prior religious or spiritual upbringing, or did that just come out of the blue, like that Buddha appeared and that was what set you off?
It pretty much came out of the blue. My father's family was Jewish, and my mother's family was, well, my grandmother anyway, was a Catholic. So I got to see both of those things. I guess neither of them made much of an impression. I'm not sure, but I wasn't really necessarily interested as a kid. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, 10 years old or 12 years old or something. For some reason, the little Buddha and then the temples and all that stuff appealed to me.
It just occurred to me as you were talking about this, I have a little Parappa, sort of a flat figurine that I got from the Rodney shop when that was open. It's on the dashboard of my car. And I just realized, thinking about it, that the outline, the shape of Parappa is actually pretty similar to the sitting Buddha.
I have not thought of that before, but why not? Yeah, like some kind of a like Southeast Asian Buddha with a pointed top or something. That's interesting. Maybe so. Who knows? I mean, I was in Japan. I worked for Sony for 10 years. I didn't live there, but I was going back and forth quite a bit. And I was really into seeing temples and learning about Japanese culture. So yeah, why not?
So do you think that, I mean, how conspicuously does that present itself in the music? I mean, the things I've heard, there's not any, it's not like, oh, this is religious music and it's very forward, but how conscious is that to you when you're making the music, or is it just part of everything that you do and you don't even think about it?
Yeah. But I think for me, Zen is about the self, letting go of the self, then finding out who you really are, expressing yourself in an honest way. And I think I've somehow been able to do that. It isn't religious or Buddhist in any way, but it's the kind of music that makes me happy. I enjoy making it. I guess I'm not that concerned about other people listening to it. Because if I did, that would be a problem. But I don't. I just love making electronic music. And I think it's just me expressing myself very honestly, I would guess.
So do you still do are you still running the Zen practice for other people? I remember I had a postcard a long time ago that announced that you were doing that, and I wasn't sure if that was still an active practice.
Yeah. In fact, I'm running the Catskill Zen Circle. It's right here on Main Street. You can look it up on the internet, Catskill Zen Circle. And I'm the teacher there, which is a lot of fun. We have a great group. It's easy to do.
Excellent. So tell me a little bit about what you have planned, or what people can expect to see when they come to see you at the drive-in show.
Yeah, I know from looking at my Bandcamp and my Apple Music streams that not many people listen to my music. I just decided I'll make new music. Like, what would it matter? It isn't like they're coming to hear their favorite songs. So I've made 6 new short pieces, and I'm going to fit them into 20 minutes. And it's going to be fun. I've been rehearsing, and my gear is over here, and I'm going to play 6 new songs for you all.
Excellent. I look forward to hearing them. Can you tell our listeners what your websites are so they can find your music?
Oh, yeah. For my music, go on Bandcamp / Rodney Allen Greenblatt. That's easy enough. And then my website that I've had for years and years is called whimsyload.com, like whimsy load, LOAD. And I've had that website for, I don't know, almost maybe 30 years I've had that URL, and I've had that website. So it has a lot of my artwork and some stuff about Parappa and my other projects and links to other things.
So is there any chance that we'll see a return of the Rodney Shop in any form? Will there be a one-time pop-up even at some point?
Probably not. I realize the retail business is incredibly difficult. And I sold most of the stuff that I had collected. So that was kind of a goal. I made lots of friends. I mean, it was really fun, but I don't think I'm going to put it back in the brick and mortar form. Now, I sell on my website some of my stuff and some Parappa stuff. I'm still getting samples from Japan, so once in a while I put them up there.
All right. Well, there's a lot of opportunities for people to enter the world of Rodney Allen Greenblatt, which is who we've been talking to and who you'll be able to see Friday, May 31st at the Greenville Drive-In in Greenville, New York, along with Negative Land and Matmos. I should say Negative Land plus Sue C., their visual collaborator. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Rodney, for talking with us. And thank you. We'll see you then.
Thanks so much, and see you at the show.